Welcome back, everyone. It's Monday morning, June 10th, and you are listening to Talk Louisiana with Jim Inkster. I am Katara Williams, and this morning, of course, signature support is from the Office of the Mayor President of East Baton Rouge Parish. And of course, the show originates from the Investor Tower here in Baton Rouge. This morning, we are talking to, as I stated, all things Southern University. And we are very, very fortunate to have in studio with us, joining live this morning, the top leaders of Southern University. We have the system president, Mr. Dennis Shields, Attorney Dennis Shields.
Good morning.
Also, Chancellor John Pierre.
Good morning.
Which we can introduce you as Chancellor of the Law Center and incoming Chancellor of the Baton Rouge campus. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And of course, my Chancellor, Chancellor Orlando McMeans.
Oh, good morning.
Very, very good to have you in studio with us, gentlemen. And we're going to talk a little bit about the president, Mr. Dennis Shields, who's here with us first. But first, for those of you who are listening, we want you to be a part of this conversation this morning. The phone lines are open. You can always call us at 1-877-217-5757. So starting with President Shields, welcome to Louisiana.
Thank you.
We can still welcome you here while you've been here 2 years, almost.
2 years, yes.
And, of course, we're so excited to have you at the helm. We've seen lots of movement and infrastructural development on the campus, and of course it's thriving. And so we want to talk to you a little bit this morning. Of course, why you chose Southern? Because you are not from the South.
Well, I may not be from the South, but my life was touched in my early years by graduates of HBCUs. Mm-hmm. One of my foster parents was a graduate of Fisk University, Meharry Medical School, and they had a profound influence on my life, and probably the reason why it never occurred to me that I would do anything but graduate from high school and go on to college. Mm-hmm. So I knew about their families and the opportunities that and the impact that HBCUs I had on their lives and the lives of their peers and colleagues. And so it just made sense for me when an opportunity to lead an HBCU came along to sort of put my hat in the ring and see if I could measure up.
Well, obviously you are here and measuring up, and we're glad to have you, of course, as president of the only HBCU system. We say that a lot, but what does that really mean, Mr. President?
Well, it means we have five separate units, three different land masses across the state. We serve the whole state of Louisiana. We have an impact on K through 12, on business and industry, provides us a unique opportunity that other HBCUs that only have one unit mm-hmm. aren't able to have.
Mm-hmm. So you came in, that would be about 2 years, almost 2 years, as the president chancellor. And you now assume the title as president, which is a precedence that hasn't occurred since Ronald Mason was here on campus. And so the president chancellor consolidated position was also used at LSU in 2015 in terms of administrative structure. But several months ago, the Southern Board saw it befitting to separate the two roles. So now we have assistant president, which you've assumed that role, of course, and a Baton Rouge chancellor. So let's talk a little bit about the distinguishing factors for those roles and what this looks like for you, Mr. President, where your focus is now.
Well, remember, even as president of the system, I'm accountable for all aspects of it.
Yes, you are.
I don't get to step away from that.
That is right.
Well, these are unique times in higher education. There's always been a need to be actively engaged with the government because they're a primary source of funding. There's also a great need to be engaged at the federal level with federal agencies. There needs to be coordination across the system and our focus on the priorities. We're about to enter into a significant capital campaign. So as the president, those will probably be mm-hmm. the main focuses. Mm-hmm. Chancellor Pierre has actually been serving in the role of leading the Baton Rouge campus since last August. So while we will be formalizing some structural mm-hmm. things, a lot of the heavy lifting he's already taken on and done a fabulous job building on his record as the chancellor of the Law Center.
That's right. That's right. Now, you just talked about a capital campaign. And I know that that's in conjunction with the Southern Foundation. A lot of work is being done. Tell me a little bit more about that campaign.
Well, it is intended to be and well on its way to being a transformative opportunity. Mm-hmm. It will be the most significant capital campaign ever taken on by an HBCU, rivaling almost any other campaign you see in the country.
Very impressive.
Which will help in endowment, which will help in building facilities, which will help in developing human capital and other infrastructure that will secure the future of Southern University into, you know, for the next 50 to 100 years.
Mm-hmm. And so if folks want to find out more about that capital campaign and getting involved, would they contact the System Foundation office?
Right. You could go to our website, and there's a link that talks about the master plan and how to give and that kind of thing.
Yeah, which is always important. Mm-hmm. So speaking of funding and capital campaigns and infrastructure, legislative session has just come to a close.
Well, before I delve into that, mm-hmm. I would just say public higher education for decades relied mostly on state support to fund them.
That's right.
And across most of public higher education, the smaller role that state funding took on was kind of gradual. It happened mm-hmm. over the last 30 years. Louisiana is a little different. It happened much more suddenly mm-hmm. than that over the course of 5 years in the late tens. Mm-hmm. And that means we need to be very creative in creating and finding ways to diversify our revenue. For some institutions, it's just raising tuition, putting more of the burden on students.
Right.
Our student population, a significant portion of them don't have the capacity, or it really provides a real barrier to them if you raise the cost of higher education.
Right.
So we've had a legislative session. It's been an interesting session with a new governor and administration and fairly significant turnover in the legislature. I think a third of the legislature were brand new or in different roles. And I think there was a lot of feeling things out.
Yes.
A very, I think, aggressive strategy by the governor. At the end of the day, most of the support that we got moving forward has been one-time money while they're looking at this cliff that may come up, this fiscal cliff.
Correct.
I think we did well, all things considered. Mm-hmm. We were staring at a decline of about $10 million in support. I think we broke even on that. We've maintained that, and that's a good thing. It's mm-hmm. one-time money. It's not sure. recurring
funds.
Dollars, so we'll have to return at the next legislative session and see how that works. a number of our important infrastructure projects move forward: the STEM building, the nursing, lab school, the gymnasium complex at Shreveport. So that's good news. And most significantly, you know, across higher education in the state of Louisiana, there's been developed a $2 billion backlog in deferred maintenance
in right.
facilities.
That's right.
through Barbara Carpenter, our representative, and Senator Fields, the leadership by the administration, Commissioner Barra, the Speaker of the House,
Senate
Chair
President,
of Ways and Means. They actually came yes. to campus and looked at things.
That's right.
And sort of saw. I mean, it's one thing when you talk about deferred maintenance and they see
it's
that big
dollar. It's another to actually see it.
And, so yeah. they came to campus, and as a result, legislation passed to help us with bonding when
yes.
some other state debts get paid off. In 2 years, there's going to be $1.6 billion to invest in that. For the Baton Rouge campus, that's over $150 million. Mm-hmm. That's HVAC systems. That's drainage. That's repairing mm-hmm. walls. It's, you know.
services that are critical to the operation side of the campus. Make
a huge difference. So that's a big, big win for us.
Yeah, yeah. And I know Southern Ag, we're going to talk to them, had some big wins as well, and not just for here in Baton Rouge, but because you have such a statewide footprint. We'll talk about that, Chancellor McMeans, when you're on. And Chancellor Pierre, Law Center, how did Law Center fare?
I think we did really well. We were going to get some cuts also, but we were able to restore funding thanks to the efforts of Senator Fields and Senator Miguez and Senator Jenkins and a lot of people in the Senate Finance Committee and even with respect to some dollars for structural issues on our law center.
It sounds like the Southern system as a whole did very well, and it sounds like we're going to be able to get some things done. Welcome back to Talk Louisiana with Jim Inkster, and this morning we are talking to the leaders at Southern University. And so before the break, we were talking to President Shields as well as Chancellor Pierre, and we'll hear from Chancellor McMeans in just a moment. But Mr. President, I want to shift back to you, and there's been an ongoing debate for years historically on the need for the number of higher education institutions in Louisiana. It's been long debated. Particularly here in the state of Louisiana as it relates to our southern system. Why is our system so important to the state?
Well, we're a major source of talent. One of the observations I make is even before I arrived and took on this role, I had entities like Exxon and Shell and Dow reaching out to me and expressing how important they thought their pipeline of talent coming out of Southern was so important to build on and to strengthen. So I can't speak about all of the other institutions in the state. I know Southern University Shreveport plays a remarkable role, not just in Shreveport, but across the state. The PTEC program is graduating its first folks, and that's out of SUSLA.
Yeah.
I think SUNO is playing a remarkable role in the New Orleans. They're building a new nursing school. They're starting a new nursing program that's garnered a great deal of support, not just from within the state, but from business and industry, the healthcare industry. Okay. So I think that's the evidence of the importance that Southern and the Southern system plays in the state of Louisiana. You can't talk about the impact that Southern has in the state of Louisiana without talking about the Ag Center.
Yes.
And the great work that Dr. McMeans is doing, nor the Law Center, which I'm a lawyer by training. I spent 28 years in legal education. I like to say and inform people that there's probably not another law school that's had as profound an influence on practicing bar and the judiciary in a state than Southern University Law Center's impact on the state of Louisiana. So if you look across the system and the programs we offer, they're all extraordinarily important to the state of Louisiana.
Absolutely. Well said. And I want to pivot just a little to Chancellor Pierre. I know, you know, we are working very hard to recruit students to our different campuses. And so one of the challenges that institutions, not just in the state of Louisiana, but HBCUs in particular across the nation are experiencing in terms of retaining students. You know, institutions have to be way more intentional now with keeping students in school. And so what is Southern doing to make sure that once we get these students in, and of course they're obviously acquiring debt, what are we doing to keep them and to make sure that they graduate and they make it across the finish line?
Well, one of the things that I have to give President Shields credit for is that he instituted the Jaguar Success Academy, which is really designed to help students onboard with a view that they will be prepared better for the first year experience and that they will become part of the leadership to help other students who don't necessarily get that experience. We did that have done that for over 30 years at Southern University Law Center, so I know how important summer bridge programs are. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we've got to do, and I will be focusing on, is really increasing the number of academic advisors and focusing on academic success for students that are there. And then increasing the types of scholarships that they may qualify for. We've been working with some of the organizations like Thurgood Marshall College Fund. I've got a young fellow who is an alum that works really, really hard. His name is Eldridge Jackson, and he's done some really, really great work in terms
of Top Jags.
Top Jags. Mm-hmm. So it's helping people find money, because a lot of times the key to success is really constrained by financial resources.
Absolutely.
So we have to be able to bring more financial resources, and we have to diversify the programs that we offer. One of the things that I'm going to explore is there's a movement in this country to start looking at what are called three-year bachelor degree programs, mm-hmm. programs that are between 90 to 100 hours of academic credit, which is catching on. And we have to figure out ways to reduce the strain financially for students.
Sure.
And the other issue that we've got to deal with, particularly now, is the FAFSA issue, because the federal government really botched the rollout of the new FAFSA.
Yeah.
And I'm having a meeting tomorrow with Thurgood Marshall College Fund, because they're going to help us with that issue. We've got to be able to help people deal with the complexities of the financial aid system that we now deal with. But if we can continue to do those things and stay focused on creating what I call transformational leaders, our students have to come to Southern believing that when they leave, they will become transformational leaders.
Very good.
And that's extremely important.
So I have a million questions now. Of course, I think you touched upon at least what your vision is. For the next, say, 90 days or so. You want to expound upon that? You touched upon it in terms of the wraparound services and retention being a focus.
Yeah. I will be camped in enrollment management for the next 90 days. I actually took an office down by enrollment management. You won't find me much on the third floor of the Joseph Samuel Clark Administration Building, because we have to really work on getting students through that process. And we also have to figure out a way to get those people who have stopped out.
Sure.
There are people who have college credits who have stopped out, who now have to find their pathway back mm-hmm. to university environments, and figuring out ways to give people a lot more credit for their prior learning. So those are the things that we just have to focus on a daily basis, because that's really important
sure.
now at this particular time. And we want to encourage, what we learn is that a lot of people decide to come to college late.
Mm-hmm.
I ran into high school students that still haven't made up their minds, and it's not too late to pursue this opportunity. We have programs that are really designed to help students, and I always sell, one of the programs I sell is what's happening in ag. I really like all the things that are happening in ag, and the fact that ag as an 1890 institution has funding available for a lot of people who don't necessarily understand what expansive opportunities there are.
That's right.
In the College of Ag and environmental and natural resources and all those things, child care,
yeah,
food
spans
and nutrition,
so much beyond the
fashion.
The focus of ag.
Exactly. In fact, there's a couple of professors going to a fashion program in New York.
That's right.
In a couple of weeks that I connected them, because I don't think people understand really how comprehensive that educational experience can be and what folks can do.
And Chancellor, you just used a word. You said, I connected them. We know that within the system, you are one of the king of partnerships. You will partner and make sure that Southern has a seat at the table with many different corporations. One you mentioned a few minutes ago, the Thurgood Marshall Foundation. Talk a little bit about some of the partnerships that Southern is embarking upon.
Well, we have several. We just announced a new partnership with IBM, mm-hmm. where all of our freshmen are going to get an embedded program on cybersecurity. And right now, there are students that are going through, and as well as staff members, that are going through a program with IBM where they're talking about artificial intelligence.
Mm.
And we have to embrace artificial intelligence. AI is going to be extremely important. I see it really being important in enrollment management, where it can take over some functions that really help people get themselves through the process. We can't be afraid of AI. I saw it at the Law Center where we talked about AI and how it's impacting how contracts are done and so forth and so on. So we have to recognize that it is a tool that we don't want students to rely on it as a crutch, but it is a tool. Yeah. And if we integrate it properly into what we're doing in our teaching, that can be a significant impact, can have a significant impact on our students.
Absolutely. And that is a topic that is currently trending nationally, the use of AI, because we have to, we know it's here, and it's just going to become even more expansive. And so it's something that, as you said, we are going to have to embrace in academia. You know, we want it to be not a crutch, but to assist in terms of thought-provoking, innovative research for our students and for our faculty as well. We're going to take a short break. Welcome back. You are listening to Talk Louisiana with Jim Engster. I'm Katara Williams, filling in for Jim this morning. And I have the Southern University top leadership in with me this morning. And it's been a really great conversation. So much that we have a caller on the line that actually has a question for the leaders here. Again, we have President Shields, Chancellor Pierre, and Chancellor McMeans. And caller, what is your question? Welcome to Talk Louisiana with Jim Engster.
Why, thank you. Being a two-time grad of Southern, I bleed blue and gold.
Good to hear.
Good morning, President Shields, Chancellor Pierre, and also Chancellor McMeans. Chancellor McMeans, I saved you for last. It's the best. I'm an ag man as well.
All right.
Gentlemen, there's a law on the books in Louisiana that says senior citizens, I think if you're 55 or older, that one should be able to matriculate from a complementary perspective. How will Southern embrace, and but they're leaving it up, the caveat is they leave it up to the respective institution to honor this if the money is available. Will Southern look at honoring something of this nature? There are a lot of individuals in the senior citizen realm who would love to be able to go to college, but they can't afford it.
Yes, good morning. Actually, the way that law works is that the legislature has to fund it. That legislature hasn't funded it in a number of years. However, at the Southern University Law Center, we've sort of honored it by giving discounts, and we actually had the last student who actually got that full exemption several years ago. We're going to look at different ways to provide resources because there are other sources for funding for individuals who are 55 and above. So it's something that we're certainly interested in. Of course, the critical thing, of course, is that there has to be some type of legislative support for it, and that's the caveat. And as far as I know, there are really no schools that are offering it in the way that the law was written because there hasn't been the funding for it.
Thank you very much, Chancellor Pierre. And we have actually another caller as well. Caller, are you there? Welcome to Talk Louisiana with Jim Engster.
Hi, good morning. I have a question about Southern and Baton Rouge, and I was wondering if you could tell me about the opportunities that the undergraduate students have for doing science research.
Yes, we have a number of different opportunities for students to do undergraduate research. Actually, in the College of Ag, there are opportunities. We have it in the College of Science and Engineering. We have partnerships with LSU and other Research One institutions for students to do that. So these opportunities exist. And through the Honors College, really focus on undergraduate research. And even with our own graduate programs, we have students that are doing undergraduate research with graduate school professors. So those opportunities exist, and that's extremely important in order for them to be able to move on to the next level. Experiential learning as a whole is always good for students.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Business and industry also provide support for undergraduate research.
Absolutely. And Chancellor McMeans, who I want to shift to for just a moment, because that is such a good question, caller, has actually been one of the institutions, the land-grant institutions, that has secured a large amount of funding from the federal government for research opportunities. And we are very proud of that in our at our Ag Center. Chancellor McMeans, you want to talk a little bit about that? And welcome, Chancellor McMeans.
Thank you. Thank you very much. One of the things that President Shields, and it's so refreshing to him here, talk about a diverse funding portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
I came from a background which the state went from 75% funding the university to 25%, and it's still declining.
That's right.
So we had to be creative. So extramural funding at the federal level was the way to go. And now our federal funds probably accounts for probably 60% of our total funding. And our biggest partner, of course, is USDA. We got a couple of big things coming up in the fall that I can't announce now.
I was wondering if you were going to say it.
We'll
just have
to
have you back on the show so that we can talk about that, because that's going to be huge.
It's going to be big. It's going to be big. And it's in the area of STEM or STEAM. We add the A for agriculture, and sometimes that's one of our camps going on right now, the arts. So
that's right. That's right. Actually, I have a hip-hop camp going on, and it's interesting.
Right.
That it's being brought to you by the Ag Center, which shows that ag is not just farming, even though it's a big component in terms of what we do, and being able to connect the university with the citizenry of the state.
Yeah.
But we do so much more than that.
Yeah, and the thing about the hip-hop to Gen Z program is what I did is when I was in a different space, there were some students that did not have the opportunity to take advantage of all what 4-H offers. So we took those 4-H's and we put them in a different type of format. And so they're getting that. We trick them. Yeah, we trick them. And all of a sudden, they find out, like, oh, this hip-hop thing, it's nothing but technology.
That's right.
Engineering. It's computer science. And so they're doing these things today. They're making, and they're using all this digital programming. So they're getting a great experience. But in our youth development program, our main goal is to bring young people to college and get that college experience and so be the future leaders of America.
Absolutely. And for folks who may not know, you know, we have our research component where we're doing a lot of research, Sun Beef, our signature wines. I want to talk a little bit about some of the other research that's going on.
So we actually have a visiting biochemist, and he's actually bringing some of his technology into our food science program. Our food science program was active, but not as active as in the past. And so you're going to see a lot of brands from us now. You're going to see things beyond the honey. Of course, you're going to see some of the vino. You're going to see some other spirits. I have to be careful about how many spirits we release. and we have a lot of just products that we're going to be, because we're back in our research space now in Fisher Hall, you're going to see that part rev up. And, of course, the Sun Beef is at a point right now where we can start taking that to our underserved minority farmers.
And Sun Beef is Southern?
Southern University Natural.
That's right.
All grain fed.
Very good, very good. And so programs, I want to just stay there for just a moment because, of course, we have our extension side, as I just talked about research.
Right.
We have extension, which we have our footprint in now 60 parishes across the state.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And so many of those programs are in conjunction with LSU.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the extension work that's being done.
Our extension program is phenomenal. I tell them all the time, you would think they're in physically located in every parish, but we cover a lot of territory. The programs are youth development, family and consumer science. Now, we have kind of put that one up on the shelf there. We also have the community and economic development, which is big for our rural areas, and we have our food and nutrition, and those areas are grand. And I talked to you a little bit about our youth development, but we were only in 29 parishes. That's a few years ago, but we're in 60 parishes right now, delivering programs, and we're negotiating with the additional four. So we have an outstanding extension program. We're going to make a lot of hires this summer. And as we talked about earlier, a lot of that will be done through partnerships and federal funding.
That's right. Now, food insecurity, I know that is a huge issue. And I know when you are out speaking, you give a very alarming statistic Right. Let's talk a little bit about how Southern is addressing food insecurities, and it's not just a national issue; it's a local community issue.
Right. Yeah, the food insecurity problem is really, really big in Louisiana. We have so many food deserts, as classified by USDA. They do the classification of what food desert. Louisiana is at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the most alarming statistic I heard about a few years ago, that by 2050, we will be feeding or have to feed 10 billion people, and we're not prepared.
Mm-hmm.
We're not graduating enough individuals. Our agricultural production has gone down. I think one of the best things is that we are the only institution in the United States with an urban forestry program, PhD program. I think those type of urban agriculture programs are going to be very critical to the sustainability of our societies, as well as working with farmers to address the food desert. So one of the things we do, and you alluded to, is that we work with underserved farmers, small farmers, and we buy their products, and then we have giveaways on campus and elsewhere. And we're going to continue to do that year-round.
Yeah.
And because now with technology, you can extend the seasons as relates to growing crops. So we're just very happy about, and that takes both extension and research working together to make sure those things happen.
That's right. And I know you all have a mobile unit where you actually are delivering those services into some of those rural parishes.
Yes. Yeah, we during the pandemic is when I really appreciated the value of our mobile unit. Normally we do certifications in ruminant animals, small businesses, you name it. Now we have the most exciting one we got. We have a drone certification program.
That's right.
Yeah, so we're really, and the demand is too high. We're going to have to expand the program because we're getting a lot of individuals interested in that. But the mobile unit was able to go down with we had a satellite on top of the vehicle and go in there, and those farmers who did not have internet service, we were able to go help them sign up for their loans for USDA so they can receive those resources that they were due. And we had the tables. We set up the tables, the computers, the laptops. So that unit has all of that within it.
Wow.
And so those are the things that we're doing that's making a statewide impact. And that vehicle is on the road probably 3 to 4 times out of the week.
So I know that a lot of times when you are working with constituents in the rural parishes, some of those folks may not have a desire to go back to a full 4-year degree program.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they already are in, their particular business or profession, and they just want a little certification and a little help. Yeah. Ag Center provides that, right?
Yes, Ag Center does.
All right, well, we'll take a short break and we'll be back with our leaders at Southern University. And we are back. You are listening live to Talk Louisiana with Jim Engster. I'm Katara Williams filling in for Jim. And we were talking to Chancellor Orlando McMeans, who's the Chancellor of the Ag Center, before the break. And you were talking about some of the certification programs that the Southern Ag Center has, not just here in Baton Rouge. I want to be clear that we have a footprint across the state. So let's talk about that, Dr. McMeans.
Yes, the mobile unit and allows us to get out to the communities regionally and deliver 4 certification programs. Now it's 5.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a mobile harvesting unit for livestock. And we had to order it from, I think, Arizona or New Mexico, I forgot. And so it arrives this week, I think. And so we will be certifying some of our farmers as far as meat processing. And we also, as you know, we'll be going to D.C. to check on some money for expanding our facility for processing at our meat lab. So these certification programs are very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
The great thing also that we're working on is a 2+2 program with SUSLA in 3 different areas. One's going to be an ag business, and one's going to be in ag technology, and I think the other one's going to be in family and consumer science areas.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
And those certifications are free certifications for folks across the state.
Yeah.
So if you want more information on that, you can always go to the Ag Center's website. Now, gentlemen, I have to talk enrollment. Enrollment matters are the lifeline of institutions, obviously, to make sure that there's steady enrollment numbers, and they continue to climb, and that we're intentional about getting students into our universities. So I want to talk Chancellor McMeans. Enrollment at the Ag, in the College of Ag, has been on a huge decline. A huge increase.
Well, you
almost doubled.
You were right the first time. Nationally, we were on the decline until we became, as you said, and as I hear Chancellor Pierre say all the time, we have to be intentional on our recruitment efforts. The first thing I shocked my staff with when I started the job, I said, I want local wraparound services and to work with the university wraparound services.
Yeah.
So we have a full recruitment and retention team. And we went from 239 to 600 students.
Wow.
And that was just in a couple, three years. And so we're expecting about 200 and something freshmen this fall.
That is awesome.
It's great, but it's nerve-wracking because we've got to make sure.
We have to make sure we provide optimal services to those students, and we got to make sure that we keep them as well,
right.
As we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
USDA scholars.
Yeah, we have two forms of money. The USDA 1890 scholars is a unique one in which they pay for a full ride if you keep your grades up to the contractual agreed-upon GPA. And but you have to go work for USDA for about 4 years. The new 1890 scholars, so a scholarship, that is a new one that's only been in place for 4 or 5 years. That gives you a full ride at the same time, but the school gets a significant amount of money for that program, and it pays for everything. But with the 1890 scholars, we now have the largest amount of scholars out of the 1890s.
Wow, that is quite impressive.
We have 30 scholars, and we're going to go see seven of them sworn in D.C.
That is quite impressive.
Yes,
so kudos to you, Chancellor McMeans, and to your team there and the wonderful work that's being done on behalf of our students. So I have to shift to the Baton Rouge campus. I know, Chancellor Pierre, you were presiding over commencement ceremonies where we had nearly 700 new Jaguar alums.
Yes, and it's exciting to see people completing their journey. We also are seeing an increase in graduate degrees, master's and PhDs, which is really, really, really helpful. And it helps us on our journey, especially in the PhD level, to go from R2 research status to R1.
What does that mean? I know we had a significant shift in our research status last year. What happened with that?
Well, what it means is that among the institutions, when you get a research one, that is the highest classification that one can get. So there are 11 HBCUs with an R2, and we want to be among the five or six we think that can get to R1 over the next 2 to 3 years. That means we've got to invest in terms of infrastructure to create more individuals who are going to get PhDs. And Dr. Alberta Lawson is doing a heck of a job in terms of getting us to that point, along with others like Dr. Mintz and other folks who are really working hard to increase those numbers. The other important thing that I think is that we've got to figure out a way to increase our graduation rates, our six-year graduation rates and four-year graduation rates. And so that requires us to really be focused on those outcomes and to get more people to completion, because one of the big drags in higher education now is people are talking about the cost of higher education.
Right.
And folks are focusing on debt. And so we've got to be able to get students through the process with less debt and a faster means. And that's why I'm really excited about the opportunity to perhaps look at these new ideas in terms of three-year bachelor degree programs and other programs and partnership with Southern University of Shreveport.
Absolutely.
And all the other, what I call, add-ons, because it's more important now to have people come out with significant skills.
That's right.
It's not just a degree.
That's right.
It's skills that
That's
go
right.
with it. So that increases their chances to have impact on workforce development, getting them jobs. We don't want people graduating without employment opportunities. That's extremely important.
That's right. Well said, Chancellor. And I'm going to shift to the president, because The president can take credit for about 13,000 students across the system that are crossing the finish line. Mr. President, thoughts
well,
on that?
Same theme. We do a good job of attracting students. We need to have more of them graduate on time and more of them graduate overall. I'll tell you one of the most remarkable things about serving as the president is you go out and you meet alums across the state, in leadership roles within Louisiana, across the nation, in the federal government, in business and industry. We produce remarkable people.
Absolutely.
We just have to have more of them that start at Southern get to the finish line. And we're committed to that. And part of that is dealing with these alums is I'm struck how public-spirited they are. You know, we were talking about R1, R2 research. Well, we need more access to federal grants.
Absolutely.
And a group of alums that are well-placed in federal positions who know what that's like, volunteered their time to help guide us in attracting more federal dollars. You know, these are retired military. They're people in the Department of Agriculture. They're in Commerce. They're in Department of Transportation. Mm-hmm. And they're volunteering their time to help guide us on that, which speaks to the last thing I'd like to mention to your audience is that universities need to be stewards of place. Mm-hmm. And what do I mean by that? Stewards of place for me means that universities have an obligation to be a force for good in helping the prosperity and the thriving in the community where they're located, in the city where they're located, the state where they're located, and across the country. You see that with Southern University on all of our campuses. The nursing mobile vehicle that goes around and delivers medical
services to the community,
to our outreach to get grants that will expand broadband access on all three of our land masses in the surrounding communities, to the expungement program put on by the Law Center, to the extension services that the Ag Center provides. And more than anything, it's also the opportunity to provide the students to be stewards of place, to understand wherever they land once they graduate, they have to be a force for good for their community. And so I would commend the two gentlemen that are here, but also the chancellors at Asuno, Dr. Ammons, and Shreveport, Dr. Gant, on their ongoing commitment to be forces for good within their community, supporting the growth and thriving and prosperity where they're located. And I'd want your listeners to know how committed we are to that. Core mission is delivering for our students.
Absolutely.
But this is a very important aspect of what we do as a university and as a system.
Well, I love that. And I think that is a perfect way to end this show today. A force for good for their communities. You all are doing an outstanding job preparing students. As a three-time graduate of Southern University, I am peacock proud. At the folks who are doing the great work here. And I think the impact that Southern University is going to make on our future generations, because we certainly need it now more than ever. And so I commend you for the work that you're doing, the connections to the community, the connection to through the legislative process, and just really transforming lives of students who are, as we say, coming across the hump. But, you know, I cannot end this program, though, with talking about Saturday night on the Bluff. I have to ask that question, and I'm looking at Chancellor Pierre. Football.
It's going to be an exciting season.
Exciting season.